Yeah, like seeing an army on a buy sell swap page on Facebook, even though you've got some, you're still trying to master the one you've got. You got another one staring at you in a glass cabinet, maybe somewhere, but you've got to look at every army for sale on Facebook and just go, I need this.
Could use that. It's my
I could
kryptonite.
use
It's my
that.
kryptonite. And back in the day, many, many years ago, when I was a university student, I used to have this lovely habit of having a few beverages and then buying stuff online drunk. And it's actually how I became good friends with a mate of mine, because I was like, hell yes, I'll buy a Chaos Warhound Titan and a Tau Nar Supremacy suit from you. I don't have either army, but yeah, sure, I'll spend that money. And then waking up the next day and be like, hey dude, I was pretty drunk last night. And he's like, yeah, I figured, because your messages weren't great and I don't know anyone who would buy both of these at the same time. I was like, are you okay if I don't buy them? He goes, yeah, sure, no worries. But it's a risk that we play with this whole how do we best balance that money aspect of this lovely yet woefully expensive hobby of ours.
Woefully. Yeah, absolutely. Gentlemen, miscreants, ladies, they, thems. Whatever else I've left out, welcome to episode 4 of the Gathering Storm. I am one half, the nice half of this dynamic duo, Ben Corby,
Oh.
and my northern hombre, Michael Cinches Minches.
That's me. Welcome, everyone. How we doing?
We can't hear them respond to that, but.
I envision the responses of, oh my God, another episode, thank God. That's what I tell myself to make myself feel better.
Ooh. Okay. Well, episode 4. So, you know, they say three times a charm, fourth time. Well, I don't know what they say about the fourth time.
Haven't heard anything.
Let's just hope it's as good as the last few. Speaking of being as good, thank you to everyone that has reached out and given us the props of the recent content. It's all that feedback that keeps me going, and I'm sure I speak on behalf of Michael when I say it keeps him going too. The kind
Helps me
feedback, the
sleep
work.
peacefully at night. Yeah, all the kind things you guys are saying.
Yeah, in particularly, I will mention a couple of local names. Jacob Devlin, a guy that I had a one of my very first practice games into his tower, and he thanked us for the content thus far, and even offered me a rematch. Jacob's a lovely chap, and we talk about Warhammer life balance. He plays his Warhammer. He also plays rugby union. He breeds miniature sausage dogs. I think he's an electrician, and he talks with a really thick English Midlands accent, which to me is a job in itself. Just talking with that accent, even though it's probably natural for him.
Just chewing the words up and spitting them out.
Yeah, correct. It's like to talk with a Midlands accent, your brain would have to be working overtime.
100%. 100%.
Yeah. And James Beale, fellow Yabby, great Space Marine player, all-round nice guy, coach, mentor, friend, colleague, whatever we want to call him. Thank you, James.
Lovely bloke. Have enjoyed catching up with him at the past two uprisings, played him at the first one, chatted with him at the second one, had some really kind words to share with me about like freshening up his outlook on the game and how to breathe new life into your own game, which is fantastic. And as I say it out loud, I feel like another potential future episode. But we'll get cracking on to tonight's episode. Boys and girls, tonight we're going to talk about the thing that makes every single person wince, and that is money. How do we afford this ever-increasing cost of our lovely, lovely Warhammer? It's something that is definitely a challenge. We've had a recent price rate hike from GW on top of rising interest rates, cost of living, inflation. And Ben and I had the conversation like, let's talk about how to get the most bang for your buck, literally. Because nowadays, with our little island tax that we have in Australia, you don't feel like you get very much bang for your buck.
No, absolutely not. And something I wasn't aware of that we pay a lot of money for our G dubs in terms of how much other countries pay. So that cost of insurance, freight, etc., out to Australia is an expense that we actually wear locally. Hopefully, G dubs aren't listening to this and gonna hit me with a libel slander suit, but that's the way I understand it. If we were to buy the same product in the UK with the exchange rate, we'd actually be 20 to 30% better off. Hence, some people that know people in the UK have them purchase it and then send it out, and obviously with enough mass and enough bulk to save a couple of dollars, but obviously it's a lengthy exercise and we all want everything now, don't we?
We do not have the patience for gratification, and in Australia, we have been denied that gratification sometimes, having things delayed. But on that England thing, Ben, I remember when I've been to England twice, and both times I made sure I went to my local, or the local Games Workshop store, because at the time the Start Collecting for Eldar was out, and you could get a Farseer bike, three Windriders, and a Fire Prism for the equivalent of Australian $100.
Holy
So
shitballs.
I bought six of them.
And you were in Japan recently, weren't you?
Yes, I was in Japan recently.
And
Went to the cafe there.
how would you equate the cost of goods in Japan, given that that's in our sort of Asia Pac region?
Look, I. It was a bit of a different store. It's one of the cafes, so they've got some products that you don't normally have. So I picked up a lovely Eldar artwork print. I've got it just behind me, actually. I'm going to show Ben. You guys can't see it.
No.
But if I pull up this beautiful artwork
Oh yeah.
of the 8th edition Codex front, cost me 7,300 yen, which at about $12 per 1,000 yen, for those of us who are good at maths, it's going to tell us it costs about $80.
Was going to say 84.
Yeah, quick math, that's what we're good at. But as far as their products there, I didn't really notice much of a difference, which was a bit of a shame. Now, money being what it is, there's many, many different ways you can get around this expensive element of the hobby. And we're just going to go through a
Sting.
few. Yeah, look, bit of background. My partner and I, we have a lovely 1-year-old son, and we made the decision this year when returning to work that we would both be part-time. So we're both working 4 days a week. Now, we're both teachers, so we want a pretty good wicket. I'm not complaining about that. We get lots of holidays that we definitely deserve, but it cuts into your budget when you start earning 20% less. So it's one of the many things that, one of the first things to go, unfortunately, is your hobbies. And as much as I wish it wasn't so, food on the table and a roof over your head is probably more important than buying the latest Lionel Johnson or Exalted 8-bound or whatever floats your boat. And it can be tough, but we've come up with a few tips and tricks to help save money. I got a few that I'm going to go through. And then I'll jump, flick over to Ben to see what he recommends. Now, something quite interesting about Ben and I, going back to how we first met, and this leads into my very first point. My very first point is buying whole armies. Now, I don't mean go to Games Workshop, click on their ever so convenient whole army bundle, which is literally every single product at full price. There's no benefit other than saves you 4 or 5 minutes. But buying whole armies on buy, swap, sell, Facebook Marketplace, groups, all of this type of stuff. This is one of the best ways I find to save money. Buying a whole army, if you say to someone, hey, look, I'll take the lot, normally it means they'll give you a better deal. And that's exactly how Ben and I met. I remember seeing him post up a Genestealer cult army, and he had it originally up for way too much. Not that he knows that, but for way too much. I was like, oh, look, I'd love to get in GSE. There's a couple of guys in Queensland who think they're pretty good and seem to do all right with them. Wouldn't mind a new army. I've got almost three of every single thing possible for Eldar, but 1500, that's just a bit too much for me. I'll put a comment, go, oh, if only. And then a couple of weeks later, Ben messaged me and said, hey, if you want, I'll sell it to you for 1200. And I went, I think 1200 is a fair price. And I was pretty excited, except I didn't have 1200 bucks. Big problem there. So I said to Ben, I said, hey, Ben, sounds great. Can I do a payment plan? Like Afterpay for hammers. And Ben and I had a bit of a discussion. And what was the number we came to every couple of weeks, Ben, that I'd transfer you?
That was a couple hundred bucks.
It's a couple hundred
But
bucks.
we had Uprising looming. I'm cutting
Yes.
into your story.
Please do.
No. But we like, and look, buying off of Facebook comes with risks and challenges because A, you're generally transacting money with people that you don't know. Fortunately, if you've heeded my advice from episode one and you've already started networking, anyone you've played, you've added on Facebook. Anyone you've met in your community, you've added on Facebook. Sooner that whole social networking thing will start working its magic and friends of friends start appearing, and then you'll see people selling are actually friends of friends. So I see something in Queensland that I want to buy. I message my friend Michael. Hey, do you know this
Hey.
guy? Do you know him? And he's like, yeah, he's a spud. I beat him like three times. No, he's like, yes, I do know that person. Yeah, he's a good guy. Yes, you can trust him. You have any problems, I can certainly intervene. And that's what I did with Michael. I took a screen snap of his Facebook photo. I put it in the Yabbies chat. Nathan Meach came out and said, oh yeah, we know him. He's a good guy.
And that's all it
And I'm
takes,
like,
isn't it?
that's all it took. I mean, we're in a community here, I think a community of mutual respect and mutual understanding, and we know that not everyone has money, lots of money, but people need their plastic crack. So, yeah, we can be pragmatic. Unless that person desperately needs that money up front, like they're getting out of the hobby because they've got a bill to pay or, they've
Medical
overcapitalized on something.
expenses or
Medical
something.
expenses. Look, things happen, shit happens, life happens, and they might need all that money. So this whole payment plan thing might be a bit. But I didn't need the money per se. I probably needed the room more than I needed the money.
True that. So yeah, Ben and
But
I set up
yeah.
this payment plan, and your reference check, and you're talking about the hobby community yet again. And one of the biggest things that I say is I organize models for people at times and find ways to help people get what they want and make sure they're not paying too much of a price. And I've had people go, oh, look, this sounds great, but I've never met you. Do you have any references? And I was like, I just literally say, what state are you in? And they tell me a state. I message people who I've worked with before, or my mates, and say, hey, this person here wants to know if I'm dodgy or not. And so far, I haven't had a customer turn me down, which is good. But buying whole armies like I did off Ben, it gave me that bit of leeway. He was happy to take the payment plan. He was an absolute top bloke. He said, are you coming to Uprising? I went, yep. He goes, cool. I'm from Adelaide. If you've paid off half by then, you can take it home with you. Never have I had more incentive to make sure I paid off half by then, because I was like, sweet, no postage, no broken minis. Let's do this. Let's make this happen.
Yeah, man.
And yeah, just continued paying it off. But buying whole armies is definitely a great way to go. In the last 6 months, say, I have bought a Jean Steeler Cult army, an Imperial Knight army, a Tau army in the last 6 months. And like, the Jean Steeler Cult army, unfortunately, Ben, is the smallest of armies that I've bought. So the knight army I picked up had, I think, 15 or 16 knights. No, it would have
Wow.
had 17 knights. 17 knights, one big, four middles, 12 littles. So big, big army. The Tau army I picked up is 10,000 points.
Wow.
But because I was willing to buy in bulk, the people selling them were also like, well, you say to someone, oh, you've got it up for $1,000. If I take the lot, make your life easier, what's the best you can do? And someone came back and said, oh, 900. I was like, yep, sweet. Can you do a payment plan? So again, yeah, look, I love my payment plans. It doesn't always work, and if you're in a position where you don't need a payment plan, all the more power to you. But when you're buying a whole army, people are normally pretty understanding. It is definitely one way to go. And that kind of really links in with things like buying secondhand models. Guys, if you're not aware, there are a 100 different buy swap sell pages for all over the world comfortably. I know I'm in about 20 here in Australia, and it's a great way to go trawling for models. Like, you see people who are selling things, like Ben said, getting out of the hobby, changing things up, just didn't vibe with them. And you go, hey, I'll take that off your hands. I'd rather pay 60% of GW's price than pay the full amount. And if you get real lucky, a few people. I know I've bought chunks off people before, and before they even put it up, they message me and say, hey, I'm going to sell this. Did you want any of it? And I was like, well, actually, yes. Thank you so much, because what you're selling, you'd sell for in an instant. So I'm glad I get the jump.
Yeah, it's, if we go back a bit, there's a couple of nuances with our hobby. One is we're buying a premium product. Let's face it, people take the fight to G-Dub, but who wins? Who's won? Who's come close? I know a lot of companies out there have been brave enough to say, hey, I think we could take it up to Games Workshop and beat them at their own game. Like, there's been game designers leave, there's been rule writers leave, and nothing comes really close that survives. I'll say, you know, you think Warmer Hordes, War Machine, I don't know if any of you guys have heard of that, or I see a game's hit Kickstarter again, Warzone Eternal. Now, for you children of the 80s or grew up through the 90s, I remember Warzone almost had 40k by the balls. And I actually bought the rulebook from the 90s recently just to go back and have a bit of a laugh. But they're trying to crowdfund something that died 25 years ago and bring it back to life. And I say, look, good luck to them. What I'm getting at is G-Dub are a bit like Apple. They've got the lion's share. When was the last time Apple had a sale? They didn't. When was the last time Games Workshop had a sale? They haven't. The only time I have been into a Games Workshop and not paid full price was when the first Games Workshop opened at Miranda Fair in Sydney. And if you had bought the White Dwarf the week before, you got a 25% off voucher. Now, I rocked up there to buy a copy of Warhammer Quest. It was $100 and I was getting it for $75. The lineup to get in the Games Workshop was 3.5 hours standing.
Jeez.
And that, to me, said, this is how often these guys have a sale. They don't have sales. They put prices up. We keep buying their product. And we will continue to do it because it is a premium product. It is made in the UK. It is designed in the UK, it is made in the UK, it is manufactured in the UK. And let's face it, it is pretty amazing. The sculpts are great, the rules are great, the community's great. The magazine sucks. I am not renewing my White Dwarf subscription.
I don't think I bought a White Dwarf aside from when they've had army-specific rules in probably about 6 years. I think maybe Harlequin's supplement or Assassin's supplement are the last ones that I bought just for the supplement.
I actually don't even open it anymore. I just put it in a stack and it ends up in the bin. I'll quite gladly give them away to someone. Anyway, onward we go. There are resellers. So there are people beyond Games Workshop that sell Games Workshop. And I will shout out Phil Wessels and the Dragon's Lair. Down at St. Mary's, they're a great sponsor of many tournaments events, including Uprising. Now, resellers sometimes offer a discount. They, in some cases, always offer a discount. And some of them do it online. Again, you just got that shipping cost, depending on where you are. And that's another way you can buy it. Whole armies, though, as Michael says, fantastic. What are the pitfalls of whole armies? Sometimes you don't always get what you want. Like, if you've got an idea in mind for how you'd like an army to look, you might get 70% of the way. You might get most of what you want. You think, well, I can just buy those other things. Another pitfall is it painted to the standard that I like? And is it a paint scheme that I can replicate myself?
Or will the person you bought it off continue to paint it for you after you bought it off them because they're a rad bloke and want to do a podcast with you?
Yeah.
So they paint those 150 models you sent them and you're like, yeah, cool, friend.
Yeah, that stare at me
every day.
PTSD as I walk past them. Yeah. Yeah.
It's okay. I'm patient, mate. Don't stress. But
it's all good.
Yep. You're not wrong. I have 166% of the Tau Riptides that I need, which is a problem. I have about 1,000% of the drones that I need. But again, that's then going to turn around eventually when I have a mate who's already said to me, hey, if you've got any Tau that you don't want, I'll buy it off you. So in buying those whole armies, you take on the bits you want, but you've still got the opportunity to sell the other bits off, even if it's at dirt cheap prices. You're selling stuff for $50, $100, whatever. You're still recouping some of that cost. There's, I know of a prolific person in Queensland who is well known for buying and flipping armies super, super quickly. Unfortunately, he stepped away from 40K a lot and is just hanging out with Age of Sigmar, which has made a lot of us sad as we can't buy and repurpose his armies that he gets. But maybe one day, James, you'll get back into 40K and look after the community with your solid, solid discounts. But yeah, buying those whole armies, buying models sick of hand, really, really good way to get models for cheaper. I'm going to steal Ben's idea here. I'm going to plug my friendly local gaming store. That is Irresistible Force, Tanamira, Logan Home. I know that they are, I've known the owner for over 10 years. He's the only guy that was happy to have hypothetical apocalypse battle talkouts conversations with, because he said to me, you've actually got the models to back it up. If I say to you, fine, put your Phantom Titan on the table, you'll pull them out and put them on the table. So we actually have to roll dice, but has been a huge support of me. I've recommended many, many people, does, you know, discounts base, has a membership program. Helped us out last year when we were training for the ATC. He quite happily opened up his game rooms to us, WTC terrain ready to go. And he's a great mate who looks after me. And that's the other thing that comes with that networking. You know, if you've got a mate who, you know, you support their store supports you, gives you the product, gives you the discount. When Eldar dropped and I said to him, look, John, I don't know what I want yet, but I want it. And he said to me, I'm not going to let anything go up for pre-order until you tell me exactly what you want, and I'll take that out of my allocation. And I went, that's why I keep on coming back to you. That, and because you only got given one codex by GW and you made sure I got it, which is very, very nice.
That's a good word you just used there, Michael. Allocation. Now, we've mentioned living situations. We've mentioned ongoing life expenses. Now, my predicament to the listenership, I'm very lucky. I'm in a corporate role. And with a corporate role generally comes a corporate salary.
Must be nice. And
it is nice. Enter child support. enter, and you talked about your wife being part-time. My wife now works 2 days a week, and I'd be happy for her to work no days a week. But she wants to make a contribution to the household. And because we're only having one child together, little Isla Quinn, who's 17 months. And a way for, look, our hobby, let's face it, we could walk into a game shop and buy all the things and not feel bad about it. There's always something we need, isn't there? Be it a paint or those dice or that book or
that
a
new
tape
army.
Measure. An army, even going to Bunnings, buying those ceramic magnets and sticking them under your models so they stand up in your magnetite case that you bought out of Queensland. Or those trolleys. Shout out Pete. There you go. I've got one of his cases. They're absolutely fantastic. And there's that trolley you can buy from Bunnings for $100 that everyone in the Adelaide community seems to be pushing around tournament venues with all your models laid out on them. Then there's, I don't know, I bought an airbrush and an air compressor, and then there's air paint to go with it. Then you need paint thinner, then you need airbrush cleaner, then you need an airbrush cleaning pot, then you need the paint brushes. Then you see, guys, you can see where I'm going with this.
Yeah, don't paint your armies. Pay someone else to paint your armies, and you don't have all of those expenses.
You need to have long arms and deep pockets if you're going to pay someone to paint your armies. But back to your word allocation, Michael. You need to create a budget. Now, if you're in a fixed income household and you've got to watch your pennies, and with the advent of these rate hikes, and look, they're talking about, you know, another couple. Economy is something that I work in, and look, there will be one or two more, and the reason is there'll be a couple more is because we're still spending. We as consumers have not relented since COVID. We are out there buying all the things still, even though we're all crying poverty, we're still buying the things. Allocation. If I don't take if I take my lunch to work every week, my wife lets me have $50 on top of the $50 I get already for my hobby per fortnight. So that's $100 a fortnight. That is my allocation. Now, that allocation is pretty good. You think $100 a fortnight, $200 a month. It serves me well. I can get paints, paintbrushes, a couple of minis, a couple of
Scar
other things.
brand.
Yeah, say again, Scarbrand.
Scar
Yeah.
brand.
Oh, hang on. We'll talk about Scarbrand because that's a can of worms that will open up. But, and Michael's mentioned it again, do we have too much at home? Have we accumulated too much? Some might say, but I'm a hoarder. That's my precious. I can't get rid of them. They're mine. Yeah, but do you need all of the things? Do you need all that shit? I just sold a second Ed 40K. That's something I wanted. I wanted for nostalgia. It's where it all began for me. Back in 1996, I played second Ed. I wanted that box set. That box set with those monopose orcs looking like they're taking a shit or teabagging the earth that they're playing on. Those monopose Gretchen, those hideous space marines, cardboard dreadnoughts. I had to have it. Bought it for $100 10 years ago. I just sold it for 500. I got $500 in my wallet. I need that money. Why? Because we got 10th coming.
Oh no.
We've got 10th.
Don't remind me that there's a whole new million models that I'm going to want to buy.
Correct. There's models, there's rules, there's cards, there's indexes, there's all of the things. Games Workshop is a publicly listed company, people. Their loyalty is not to their customer base, it's to their shareholders. If you want to invest money, go put it in G-dubs. Seriously.
You're not wrong, and yet never have I felt so personally attacked as when you ask questions like, do you need more stuff? I have now turned it into a game. I've gotten past the stage of just going, oops, sorry, buddy. But I would tag my mate Jay, who painted a large chunk of my Eldar, or I'd send him a screenshot saying, hey, do I need this? And just, I've never had someone convey frustration and disappointment in Facebook messages as well as he has. It's when he goes, dude, you don't need a fifth avatar of Kane. Dude, you don't need your 22nd warlock. Dude, you can only have 18 shining spears now, and you already have 39. And I still go, but should I get it? And it's a hard habit to break for me, and it's something that I've had to because I'm sitting here going, I
It's
have a
addiction.
Warhammer budget. Yeah, I have a Warhammer budget. When I sat down with my partner and we went, okay, we're both 4 days a week, we're both only earning 80% of what we were. What does that look like? And my Warhammer budget went from A to Z. It got much smaller. In addition to having a kid and having all other expenses like daycare, things that add up. And I've now gone, all right, I need to be super picky with what I spend and what I don't. But also, I do try and be quite clever. Like you, Ben, I may have one or two rare pieces of Warhammer that I find, collect, buy, sit on, and then go, you know what?
Flip it.
I can probably sell this for a bit of money. So if you have those things sitting around at home and you go, you know what? I bought six Bone Singers when G-Dub did their made to order release. I already have four Bone Singers. Do I need 10 Bone Singers? And if you don't, keep an eye out for someone who might want one or put it up.
Yeah.
I tell myself as I look into my cupboard with four more Bone Singers new inbox. All right, this is becoming very much of a I have a problem episode, which is
Well,
concerning me.
I think admitting that we do. Look, Hammers is a conundrum because what we're doing is we're building a toolbox. We're building a toolbox of models that may not be relevant at the moment, but we won't get rid of them for fear that they may be relevant in the future. And a collection is a collection. Like, it's a moving feast. But it's knowing what you need versus what you want versus is this just filling a void? Is this just, am I buying this just for the sheer thrill of it arriving in the post, opening it, looking at it, and then having it stare at me and cry salty tears of lack of use?
Stop attacking me, Ben. Stop attacking
I'm not,
me.
I'm not attacking. So it goes back to shed the excess. Work out who you are as a player. Michael is a faction specialist. Absolutely he is. He is Xenos scum. He is Eldar. He's
Eldar.
He's Eldar. He's Yunari. He's
Harlequins.
He's all of those things. Am I a faction specialist? No. By heart, I am World Eaters because they were the first army I ever played. Chaos. And I love World Eaters. It's a monophase army. It's probably a beginner army in that it's monophase, but hey, they're close to my heart. I will never get rid of them. I also like Ultramarines because they're the poster boy of everything hammers. And in this day and age, they can patch over to Iron Hands and I can be a meta chaser.
Yeah, this is my blue Iron Hands here.
My blue Iron Hands with their funny Omega patch. My
favourite swapping over of factions is the one and only Denith Lianagama from the Normal Blokes podcast, who I played at played at a Games Workshop tournament. We had such a tight, close game that came down right to the wire. And I was like, looked at his arm, he's like, oh, cool, Blood Angels. And he's like, they're blood lizards. They're actually salamanders. And I was like, pretty sure that's a teardrop. He goes, no, it's a blood drop. And it was just hilarious because 100% get it. 100% get it. You don't want to limit yourself and force yourself to spend more money.
No, you don't. And it's a conundrum, and it ties into episode 3, Warhammer Life Balance. And money is a balance in this game as much as the time is.
100%.
And then there's the advent of 3D printing. Now, do we talk about the elephant in the room? Do we want to get endorsed by G-Dubs one day, or do we want to...
I'm going to say that 3D printing exists. It's a thing, and it's an avenue that people could potentially explore. And people miss my lovely hand gesture of, you are open to pursue your hobby in whatever way works for you. And if I know of anyone who 3D prints or not, that's not really relevant. Can you tell when they're painted? Well, sometimes. But again, like, it's your hobby, and if you're not someone who has that mean, or someone who has access to the 3D printer, who are we to tell you how to balance the money? This is what it's all about. You know, like, there are other options out there, and if you don't know someone who knows who has those options, ask around. You'd be surprised who could be talking to you who actually has other options to get your hobby fixed. In regards to the next thing that I've got written down, something that one of my friends has just started doing prolifically, and I followed his journey with bated breath. It was almost like a TV show that I was binging. Is the next thing you can do is you can actually trade armies. If you get to the point where you go, you know what, I've had enough of this army, I'm actually going to try and trade it. Now, even more so than that buying or payment plan thing, trading armies is definitely much more risk, especially if you're not doing it locally, because you need to trust that when you send that package, the other person will send that package. My friend, who he went from a Tau army to a Space Wolf and Thousand Suns army, that then sold the Space Wolf army and traded the Thousand Suns army for a Blood Angel army, and then traded parts. It was nuts. But I think part of that was in the enjoyment for him, and we talk about that procurement of models being something that we do get really excited about. And I may have thrown a hissy fit when the latest box of Eldar that no one needs to know that I bought got delivered by Australia Post with a hole in it with tape saying repaired by Australia Post that I'm currently disputing. But for him, I think part of it was just the excitement of seeing how we could trade and see what he could get and see what he was happy with. And now, like, he's absolutely stoked. But trading armies, and it doesn't necessarily have to be on a permanent basis, I guess. If you've got mates and you say, hey, do you want to borrow this army? I'll borrow that army. You know, I poke fun at myself for this sudden random collection of armies, but the reason why I'm doing it is I've probably got enough Eldar for now. I've got a lot of mates who want to get into the hobby or who are in the hobby. If they say, oh, I want to try this army, I want to be able to go more often than not. Cool, come around. I've got it in the case. Cool, it's in the cabinet. And just use my, I guess, longevity in the game to allow others to get involved and borrow armies and do that and practice things without buying it. Because there's nothing worse than buying something, building it, painting it, putting it on the table, playing with it and going, this is shit. This is not what I wanted. And thank God we've got the ability to at-home proxy or, you know, ways that we can get around trying things out before we buy. Because if we couldn't, there would be a lot less players in this game because the price ceiling would just be too high.
I think G-dubs are at a bit of an impasse with the advent of 3D printing. Their IP has effectively been stolen. Models are being printed and it's saving people a lot of money. How do they combat that? Well, there's going to be the loyalist people out there that have the moral objection to purchasing something that has been
pilfered,
reproduced, plagiarized, whatever you want to say. I think in this day and age, we're all guilty of that. I remember once upon a time before streaming, you know, everyone had a hard drive full of movies, films, TV series. People used to swap hard drives. People used to, you know, swap that sort of stuff. What does Games Workshop do to combat this? Look, I don't know what their answer is going to be. I know of prolific 3D printing that goes on. And do I have any 3D printed models? I'm going to say yes, I do. And the reason being is I needed 3 Chaos Spawn. How do I get 3 Chaos Spawn? You can't buy 3 Chaos Spawn off the shelf.
Buy two boxes, mate. That's how you get 3 Chaos Spawn.
You got to buy two boxes. Or you put a call out. Does anyone have any Chaos Spawn? I swear I got like 8 messages. I've got a whole heap of printed ones. And you go, okay, moral conundrum. Shit, I need these Chaos Spawn for this tournament. Fine, I'll take the printed ones. All right, you paint them up. You put them on the table. And I took them to Adam Napier's place recently. He goes, are they printed? And I'm like, oh, fuck, is it that obvious? It's like, no, I'm pretty sure I printed them. And I was like, well, I did buy them off Ben Reggett.
Ah, yes, Mr. Reggett. And
Mr. Reggett. And he goes, yeah, I'm pretty sure I printed them for Reggett. And I'm like, okay, well, I might have bought them off Reggett. Look, I'm not dobbing these people in. And look, 3D printing's out there. It's alive. It's well. Wahapedia. My God, you can get every rule from the game off that website if you wanted to.
It's all out there, and
it's all out there. Codexes are available.
At risk of incriminating ourselves too much, it goes back to the asking questions. Ask and you shall receive, and you will find a way to make that element of your hobby much more financially accessible for you.
Yeah, it's a tough one. It's an expensive hobby, but what good hobby is not expensive? If you're a sailor, or you like to race cars, or you collect Lego, or you play football, you think, football, how does that cost money? Well, hang on, it's time. I played gridiron, I played rugby union. I'd play on Saturday. My Sunday was wasted. Rest, ice, elevation, compression. It was an expense on time. It was an expense on medical bills. It was an expense on, you know, my inability to walk and help around the house. I was a sailor once upon a time. Holy crap. That was expensive. Gamers. PC gamers, people that have to have their silicon upgraded so long. Time is the biggest expense that we take out of this equation that we covered off last episode. Mixing time and money. Now, there was also a third element that we were going to talk about today, and it wasn't in your little brief that you sent today, Michael. Was how do we
Don't judge on me for
introduce?
planning.
No, you're the school teacher. How do we introduce this hobby, or how do our partners react to this hobby?
I had people message me about this. I've got a couple of stories up ready to share. I wasn't sure if you'd remember, so I do.
No, I do.
Ready.
Look, I hooked it, and I'm watching the timer here. I'll take the next minute and a half. So I'm in my second marriage. My first marriage, I was a good sports person. I was playing gridiron. I was playing rugby, gridiron rugby, alternating. I was fit. I was rigged. You know, I was buff. I was gymming. I was all of the things. I met my ex-wife, who was a professional sports player, and then my body packed up. Enough's enough. I can't play sport anymore. Full contact sport. I'm gonna go reinvigorate my old Warhammer hobby. And then the sideways look starts appearing when you're gluing plastic models together and painting them and reading books. And then they walk past the shop with you and they see the people, the clientele in the shop, and they look at you. And then the judging begins. Anyway, that was my first marriage. Now, I'm not in that marriage anymore. But
yep.
that...
I don't think
that,
bigamy is allowed in Australia.
No, bigamy is definitely not allowed in Australia. But that first marriage was kind of doomed, because they had no idea that I was into any of that stuff before. I was not at that point in my life where I needed to introduce that element of my life to them. It's something that came back to me. And it was a clash for them, and it was something that they found a little bit awkward, my hobby. But anyway, that's my minute and a half. Over to you, Minches.
All right, I'll share mine, and then I'm going to share a couple of the people who've so generously reached out. So my lovely partner and I have been together coming up on 6 years next month. Have our son, we're engaged. She did the lovely gesture of proposing to me, mostly because I had just had knee surgery and was unable to get on one knee physically, which is always a good story. But similar to you, Ben, I played a lot of sport. My body packed it in much, much earlier than I would have liked and is currently still packing it in. But I had had relationships in the past where I either felt, you know, when I was younger, I felt ashamed. I'm like, oh, she's not going to think I'm cool because I'm playing with toy soldiers. Or, you know, I tried to be cooler than I actually was and hadn't quite reached that acceptance in myself of who I am. And when it came to my latest partner, I just went, my last relationship ended pretty badly. And, you know, it was one of the things that was used against me was this hobby. So I was like, I'm going to be upfront, going to be honest from the start. And we talked about this. Luckily, my partner and I were friends before we became an item. And I said to her, look, this is what I do for fun. I find it mentally stimulating. I find it, for me, it's better than playing video games or something like that. I have to be social. I talk to someone. I use my brain. I use mathematics. She's also a teacher. So, like, you know, I learn things and it's like, cool. And she's like, okay, no worries. And that developed over time to when we were looking for a new house. She's like, where's your hobby room going to be? And after spending, I know it's the dream. I've had a few people look at my hobby. I call it hobby den because I don't think room actually is an effective enough name for it. Basically, our double garage got converted into my room. We built in the laundry because it's in the garage, but aside from that, the whole double garage is mine. And she went above and beyond. I have carpet, I have aircon, I have a TV wall mounted, glass sliding doors, curtains, fridge, couch, everything. So because I was open, upfront and honest, that's where it's got me to. But I'm going to share my two mates who messaged me, because I really appreciate them for reaching out. I'm going to name them. They're going to know who they are, but I'm just going to read it word for word what was sent to me. I've got, was dating a Sheila back in October last year, and I was telling her this and that about the hobby. She had the confused look on her face and then brought her to my place, showed her the garage full of painter minis, and she's like, and this is why you've been single, crying laughing face. But looked and said, how much money have you spent on this? I replied, you wouldn't believe me if I told you. She asked many questions, how much the models, etc. And she just replied, that's a lot of wasted beer. And she's not wrong. And having to tell my partner when we're doing our home insurance, how much money, like how much should I insure this for? And she went, she said, should it be insured for $5,000? And I was like, if you add an extra zero, yes. And then the home insurance is too much. So we compromised there. But that's one friend's story. Another one was my friend who I attended his wedding. Would have been about a year ago now, almost. Very exciting for him. The first anniversary is coming up. Was there for his wedding, and he said, I introduced my partner to the hobby on our very first date. I offered to drive her home, forgetting I had my full Drakari army on the front seat from the tourney that day. I had to awkwardly explain what it was and why I was being so delicate with it moving to the back seat. I'm still surprised she married me. So 40k focus area, how to tell your partner, different ideas. I appreciate you guys sending your stuff through. I'll make sure I message you and let you know that you've been mentioned in the episode, but I kept it private just in case. But it beats, you know, that awkward conversation of, yes, this is what I do.
I think a lot of people go back to the 40-year-old virgin, that film.
Yeah, he didn't do us any favors at all.
He did no favors, because he's actually painting figures at one point in that movie, he's painting
a Lord of the Rings figure.
I think so. Yeah, they look sort of medieval. Anyway, yeah. My current wife, I'll never forget. We went out on a date, and we're walking towards Good Games Adelaide. And I said, "Oh, that's Good Games Adelaide," and she's, "Oh yeah," and I said, they do, like, not video games, you know, they do, like, board games and games with, like, little men and stuff like that. She was actually listening really attentively, so I just ran with it. And a bit like what you said, Michael, I was just very upfront. I said, look, this is what I do. It's my release. It's something that I like. It's... And someone once told me, they said, it's in your blood, the fact that you look at toy soldiers and little plastic men and move them around. They say it's something that's been done for hundreds, thousands of years. You know, people have pushed stones, rocks, chess pieces, whatever, around a board. And
yeah, you're right.
There's a real primitive element to it. Like, some of the greatest military leaders were wargamers. Winston Churchill is actually one of the most famous wargamers of all time. Anyway, going slightly off track, it's something that's always been there for me, but probably in the last 12 months has become prolific with me. Now, I, like you, Michael, I'm very lucky. I have a supportive wife. She actually, her best friend's partner, turns out he has a garage called the Warshed. Anyway, yep. She heard about this Warshed. She goes, do you want me to ask Tony what his Warshed is? And I'm like, yeah. Turns out they play 40k in there every Saturday night. And she goes, oh, you're welcome to go there whenever you want. And I was like, yeah, I'll go. You can go hang out with your friend back, and I'll go to Tony's. We can go out there. But anyway, that was my thing for a while.
Is that work-life, like Warhammer life balance I hear there? Going somewhere that with is, your partner? That is, like, that's the dream.
That is the dream. I know. And you've got to check for spies. You've got to make sure that this is legit. the cost of the things does grab my wife a little bit. Look, she's got some expensive habits too. She loves her handbags, she loves her jewelry, she loves shoes and clothes and all the other things that we should be spending our money on too, rather than just
plastic crack.
But we need our crack.
Yeah, we need our crack without it. I think going back to what you said about, like, the demographic that people might assume too, the biggest thing for me, yeah, 100%. We're stereotyped to the max as a certain figure. And my favorite thing now is, yeah, as I look at my unshaven beard, thanks, mate, I go, you know what? I'm going to show some people up. Like, in my staff room, I teach in a school, there's, you know, lots of female teachers, and they're like, oh, you know, it's so nerdy and stuff. And I just pulled up a picture of, you know, our Lord and Savior, Henry Cavill. And I go, this guy does it. You know, Superman, Geralt, The Witcher, other movies he's been in. And I go, this guy is obsessed with it. And they go, huh, maybe it's not so bad. And I go, well, thanks for, you know, thinking it's not so bad when he does it, but definitely using him as a shield against the typecast.
you paint them up and put them into little armies.
Yeah, and then you push them across. Yeah, push them across the table at each other.
No, that's what he said on the Conan O'Brien. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
100%.
Well, then you got Robin Williams, R.I.P., Vin Diesel, Will Smith.
Yeah, there's so many out there. So
there are.
Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to share your.
Don't
passion
be ashamed. Don't be ashamed.
Exactly. If they're the one for you, they're going to love you regardless. And if they're not, your toy soldiers will love you regardless.
Correct.
So you're going to get something either way. I mean, I guess for us, I think we're at that stage now where we're trying to keep those episodes. I know that we've had, I was talking to Ben earlier, I've had a few requests for longer episodes. It's something that we're discussing and looking at. But at this stage, we're still trying to keep to this time frame. We really appreciate your presence, your listenership. And as always...
And your five stars.
Yeah, those two. Five stars. If you have any questions, any comments, anything, post up in our Gathering Storm Facebook group. Message us directly. Contact us. Let us know what you like, what you don't like, what you want to see on an episode next. I'm trying to convince Ben to read his bloody reviews for some 10th stuff because I'd love to do a mini review where we just focus on our main factions. And Ben's face right now is telling me, yes, I'm definitely going to do that for next week. And he's super excited. So I'm going to push him to do that next week. He just doesn't know it yet. But from me, guys, thanks so much for your company and looking forward to touching base with you again next week. Over to you, Ben.
Yeah, what you said, Michael. The five stars on Spotify would be fantastic. We're going to work out how to get this thing onto Apple.
I'm very technologically challenged, and I'm the technologically person, which is a problem, but we'll get there.
Yeah, you're the technology guy. If you haven't gone and joined our Facebook page, could you please do that? Could you please encourage others to do it as well? This isn't monetized. We're not taking any money out of it. We're literally just trying to spread the word, get the listenership up, hit as many people as possible. The more people that are listening to it, honestly, the more we're gonna do it. The more it's gonna inspire us to do it. We are no ego on this show. If you would like a shout out, or you want a shout out to someone or something, sure, we can arrange that too. Let us know. We're happy to do it. If you send us a message saying how awesome your podcast is, we'll probably just shout you out anyway. So thank you again, Jacob. Thank you again, James. And anyone else that I've left out. Thank you.
Yeah. Just thank you for the things. I've had about 10 or 12 people. Same deal. Thanks to everyone. And, you know, join our community and help us make it grow and share the love.
No worries. Thanks, guys. Till next time.